Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Well, welcome to our after show. Thanks for the cash. We really desperately need it.
Yeah. please give us.
One of the things we've been talking about spending our Patreon money on for a while is getting some merch together to sell. A lot of people have been asking for merch. So I'm very excited to tell you, just between us squirrel friends, look at me quoting RuPaul, that we very, very, very shortly will be releasing our new range of merch. We're releasing Chromatica jock straps. Is that what they are?
Those, but in red instead of pink.
Yeah. With Kyle's face on the front.
Oh God, who doesn't want my face on their crotch?
I love it.
Wow.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't talked about this before. Tom of Finland, are you guys familiar?
I'm familiar with Tom of Collingwood, where do you live?
Tom of Carlton.
Please do a Finnish accent.
I don't know what a Finnish accent sounds like.
It's that kind of Swedish, anyway. That kind of like...
This is so bad. This is like my... This is where I'm from. I don't...
Yeah, you're a blue-eyed, blonde, white person.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, for any of our listeners that have no idea what I'm talking about when I say Tom of Finland, I guarantee you would have seen his work before. It's those often black and white drawings of very muscular, usually men, quite often with a big bulge in their pants, usually topless, quite often in uniforms or cut-off denim. I guess people probably associated a lot with the 80s because of the style, but you could almost argue that the artwork influenced the style of the 80s. Of gay culture in the 80s rather than the other way around.
Sailors and things. The sailors.
Yeah, like leather daddies, like with police hats and like leather chaps and things like that.
But I never really knew the history of it. In fact, the first time I ever saw it, I think I've told you guys about how when I was like 17, I snuck off to the what's called the gay bookshop on Commercial Road when we used to have a gay mecca in Melbourne. And I don't think it's there anymore, but it was just basically a porn shop. But out the front, it had this little A-frame, and on the A-frame was all these Tom of Finland characters. And I'd walked past it a million times with my parents when we were like going out for lunch or shopping or whatever. But yeah, when I was like 17, I snuck out of home and like made up all these excuses to different people about where I was so no one would know and caught the train into South Yarra and went in there. So that was like literally some of the first gay
iconography.
Thank you. That I ever saw. Yeah. And then when I saw that it was the, a couple of weeks ago would have been his 100th birthday, I thought it might be interesting to look into it. So do you guys know anything about the history of it at all?
Yeah, well, like I knew him, he was from Finland, but he was actually like so interesting, and like his whole inspirations behind everything, reading up about him, was very cool.
Yeah, well, I'd always assumed that he was, I guess, in his 20s in the 80s.
Yeah.
Just because I've always associated his work with that time. So I was quite surprised. He was actually obviously born in 1920 in Finland. And, of course, that means grew up in Nazi Europe. And so some of his first sexual experiences were with German soldiers, which he sort of – has hinted towards, and a lot of people have said, is probably got a lot to do with his fetish for men in uniforms.
Yeah.
Because of a lot of his imagery, even included Nazi uniforms as well as other various uniforms. I think, Luke, you said sailors before.
Yeah. I remember reading that he drew people even in Nazi uniforms, and he said it wasn't anything political, but it was just purely based on how they look, because the uniforms were so hot. So I'm like,
okay. Oh, don't say that.
But it's true. But yeah, you're right. You're right, Kyle. He was very clear to say that he despised Nazi ideology, but his artwork was all about male intimacy, and a lot of his experiences when he was younger had been with men in Nazi uniform, Nazis in Nazi uniforms.
Oh, PS, side note, can I just say, if you're after a man in a hot uniform, Google the Spanish army. You will thank me later.
Oh my God.
They are beautiful. And their uniforms are so good. I wish he was around to do some drawings of that.
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, keep going.
I thought that was a pause. A thing I found really interesting was that his depiction of all these gay men was so like beefy and muscular and strong. And it was because he was trying to flip gay people's image on its head, because so many people knew gay guys as like really weak and like thin and I don't know, just like a weak image.
Yeah.
So like, I like that he decided to be like, fuck you. And it was rebellious. Yeah. And he drew these big, powerful, strong, muscular men.
It was really cool. Obviously, a lot of the only depictions of gay men that a lot of people saw were through things like, at that time, were vaudeville and film, like, you know, old films and cartoons and that sort of thing. And quite often you'd have the camp villain in those 50s films, or you know, going back to his early childhood, the vaudevillian plays, or the evil villains in the cartoons that would always be long and slender and very Disney evil villain. So it was a really interesting way to rebel against that. And I guess for him to say, no, actually, my sexual experiences have been like this, and this is what I wanted to depict.
Suck it.
He also did a lot of leather stuff and a lot of biker stuff, which resonated with that culture. And coincidentally, that culture was taking off a lot after World War II. And so a lot of other gay men that wanted to rebel against this depiction that had been this sort of Oscar Wilde depiction that had been promoted of them joined this bikey culture and this leather culture, which again sort of propelled his art, which propelled the culture, which propelled the art, a sort of self-propelling kind of thing, I guess you could say.
A self-propelling prophecy.
Yes. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The other thing I found really interesting, and I did know about these magazines, but I didn't know he was in them. Have you heard of the Beefcake magazines?
Yeah.
So I didn't really know a lot about them, but they were cookbooks? Magazines. Sorry.
Yeah. I said cookbooks?
Literal
not cookbooks, no. I've actually got one. I'll show it to you. It's fast. I've got an Australian version. So it was when they weren't allowed to print gay porn. So they printed these fitness magazines under the guise of them being like exercise. And we're talking the 50s and 60s here, under the guise of them being health magazines or muscle
very healthy
magazines and that sort of thing. But they were just mainly pictures of scantily clad men.
Posing.
Tiny underwears and lots of muscles. And
It's called Men's Health now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. So a lot of his stuff was getting, a lot of the first stuff he started getting printed was in those magazines. And it was more about his, instead of, you know, the images we're probably more familiar with of men grabbing their cocks and that sort of thing, it was more muscular men sort of doing stretches and exercising, not necessarily being as overtly sexual. But then in the 70s, when they were allowed to start printing that stuff, he started creating a lot more graphic, erotic sort of comic books and even started exhibiting a lot of his stuff in mainstream exhibitions, which is, I think, pretty incredible.
Do you find it a bit sad that it's now, like, so mainstream, this, like, such an underground, rebellious
And now it's just commonly known in every day.
The first time I saw Tom of Finland was like crocheted on like a pillow cover or something.
You always see those rip-off ones on pillows. Like every girl who thinks she's really like she just loves gays always.
God, that really cheapens it.
I've never been to a Kikons at a girl's place that loves gays that hasn't had one of those.
I have like a really distinct memory of a Tom and Finland print when I first moved to Melbourne. It was the day before my birthday, so I was like, you know what, I'm going out on my birthday, even though I don't have any friends. But I went out with like two people, and we went to the Peel for the first time. And the Peel has one behind the bar, like on the Like behind the front one, as you walk in, yeah.
I'm going to assume it's not an original.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I just have this like really distinct memory of just standing at the bar, looking at this picture and being like, wow, they do it differently in Melbourne. Like, it was really like campy and like cool, but I was like, this is awesome. And I was just like sitting there thinking, I was like, God, I hope I did the right move and make some friends.
Did you jack it?
Yeah, I've got it now, Mary.
Have you ever jerked off to a drawing before?
Yeah, for sure.
What was it, a drawing? Did you draw it?
No. I really, really like erotic, like fantasy sort of
like hentai.
Tentacle porn.
Yeah. What you would like, your 50 Shades of Grey, but like gay version. Stuff like that. But like there are some like different comic strips and stuff that I found over like the last few years that have been actually really, really hot, and I'm just like, no, I love this sort of stuff. This is great from time to time.
I love it too. I love erotica. Yeah. Like I jack it so that stuff all the time.
I think the first time that I saw Tom of Finland, like it was just before I came out, I would go to the newsagents and buy the DNA magazines in secret.
Oh, DNA.
And like they had like a little excerpt sort of thing in the middle of it, which was great. And like I remember seeing those and I was just like, wow, like just these drawings of these men are really, really hot. And like the fact that it came from someone of an earlier time when these things weren't okay was just mind-blowing to me. But no, like I think it's beautiful and amazing. Mm. And I love that one way that someone described it, that because there is like a foundation in America where they sort of preserve all of the Tom of Finland stuff, and one of the guys there described the imagery as like strong and powerful but like with really kind faces. Like I like that. That's very really true. Nice.
I think it's also amazing that the journey that it went through from being, you know, illegal and had to be sort of printed covertly through to being exhibited in like a lot of major art galleries around the world now own Tom of Finland pieces. It's quite an incredible journey, and over a period of time where a lot of changes happened for gay men. And it's also meant that, you know, artists today, just thinking locally, people like Samuel Leighton Dorr, who we've shared a lot of stuff from our Gays Revolting page, it means that people like that are able to express themselves freely in their visual art. And I think that's a pretty incredible thing.
Mm. Do you think he inspired the Village People's aesthetic?
For sure.
Yeah. Because that was like the same kind of, same
time. That culture definitely, that the bikie culture post-World War II sort of grew throughout the 60s and 70s and became quite big in the 80s, would definitely have influenced the Village People. And I would say that, like I was saying before, it's sort of a bit of a him influencing the culture and the culture influencing him until it got to that crescendo. Mm.
Are you guys into, like, because of that, do you think you guys are into, like, leather and stuff like that? Like, are you attracted to leather play? Or, like, do you have harnesses or anything? Like, I've never worn a leather harness, like, anything like
you
that.
You did in the photo shoot. You had a harness.
Yeah.
No, it's not a leather harness. Oh, that's like a fucking ASOS, like, seatbelt. It wasn't a leather harness.
Yeah.
I got the latex stuff. I like latex. I've never really... The thing is a lot of those things nowadays feel like their own little clicks and scenes that I'm not really a part of, unfortunately. But nah. I have some of the gear. I don't know if it's because of seeing porn and erotic art as a young person that it influenced my sexual provocation.
I definitely appreciate guys in leather and guys in uniforms and that sort of stuff. Sure. And I own a harness and a couple of leather pieces, and I've been to some leather parties, but I would feel like I'm cheating if I was to call myself a leather queen, because I know those queens that are into leather spend a fortune and are
they're really
experts in how to look after it, and it's actually part of the culture is looking after your leather hobby, and it's not just about the kinky stuff. It's also about the jackets and the chaps and all that sort of stuff as well. So I would feel like I was cheating my way into it if I was to say that I was a leather queen. But I mean, it's definitely a fun scene. It's a very interesting scene, a fascinating scene.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing I enjoy more than talking about some dirty pictures for a little bit. But that's our after show for tonight. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for subscribing to our Patreon or becoming one of our patrons.
Thank you, everybody.
We will have after shows and live streams and merch available. Yeah, and
it's just getting better for you guys, really.
Yeah. If the world ever gets back to upside down times, we might even have live shows again.
You know, my God.
So, fingers crossed. And that's all because of you guys supporting us. So, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you.
And you boys want to say goodbye to the
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And welcome to the Gays Revolting Untucked.
Thank you all the Patreons for giving us your dollars.
This is my main job now.
I'm probably going to spend it on cheap red wine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so as reported in the last week, it's been very unfortunate that Naya Rivera has passed away.
Oh my God.
She played Santana in Glee as the lesbian cheerleader. Mm. It's been announced that it was an accidental drowning, and she had taken her son out on a boat on a lake in California for the afternoon. They were going to go swimming and just like jet setting around the lake and stuff and have a good day. They were out swimming, and the police have speculated that they were caught in a bit of a current. And so she was able to get her son, who's 4 years old, back into the boat. But then, unfortunately, she was sort of dragged under by the current and went missing.
God, that's such an awful, awful thing to happen and way to die, especially with her son. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And like,
so heartbreaking.
They didn't find her straight away. It took like 3-4 days before they found her body because it is such a massive lake. And apparently at the bottom of the lake as well, there's so much debris that like it's just near impossible to find anything or anyone down there. So
the cast of Glee's been in the fucking spotlight for a bit now. Like that whole stuff with Lea Michele.
So there's quite a few things to unpack about Glee, because like I grew up watching it and I loved it. I think I would have graduated school a couple of years before they on the show graduated from school, so I was a little bit ahead of them. But it was great to see like gay people, lesbian people, trans people on TV screens at a time that I was in school, and it made theater and drama the coolest place to be. Because we were a part of the theater group and the drama group, and everyone hated us, and everyone's just like, you guys are lame. And then this show comes out, and it's just like, who's lame now? And everybody
still you.
And everybody joined theater.
Oh, right. I never watched the show. Like, I saw maybe like the first couple episodes when it first came out. Mm-hmm. I've never really been into musicals, and I'm not sure if that's like a subconscious thing to kind of like be more straight passing, like from when I was in high school.
Do you know, I actually reckon you would quite like it. You should give it a shot.
Honestly, I hear about it all the time because my boyfriend Duncan is fucking obsessed with it, and he makes like every reference constantly to Glee. He can like recite it. It's worrying, actually.
Oh, I can just imagine him growing up on the farm, like, you know, milking the cows.
Singing his heart out. They do have some really good covers that I remember listening to in secret, obviously, because I didn't want it to be
like all the Adele covers that they did as well were incredible.
I do love a cover, anything. Like, yeah. I just love hearing a song reimagined in a different way. It's so good. I froth for covers.
Well, all the covers that they did, like the first like 3 or 4 albums that they created on the show, they got all the rights for it, which is amazing. But all of those albums went to number one on like American charts every single time.
That's crazy, because Americans are homophobes.
But yeah, so as great as the show was for a lot of us to watch and how amazing it was to see like queer people in such a positive light, apparently behind the scenes it wasn't like that.
Darth Vader music, Leah Michelle walks in.
You know what? I didn't know this for such a long time because I just didn't care to learn about Leah Michelle. I was just like, oh yeah, you're an incredible actress and you have such an incredible
voice. She's talented.
But I didn't realize how incredibly crap you were.
I don't know. I just heard that she's a bitch to like all the cast members, but...
Yeah. Well, one statement that was brought out by one of the actresses that was in the last season of Glee, so season 6, she recalls, Leah Michelle put out a tweet in solidarity for Black Lives Matter, and she commented on the tweet. I'll read it verbatim because it is interesting. She said, LMAO, remember when you made my first television gig a living hell, because I'll never forget. I believe you told everyone that if you had the opportunity, you would shit in my wig. Amongst other traumatic microaggressions, that made me question my career in Hollywood, which everyone was like, what? What is going on? And so then like a bunch of the cast members all jumped on. It was just like, I can confirm that this is true. Okay. She wasn't very nice to us either. And then like a whole slew of different like people that worked with her came out of the woodworks and was just like, well, this is how she was on Broadway. This is how she was to like extras on the show. She would call them cockroaches, and like a bunch of extras came forward.
She sounds like a real diva.
Yeah. Like
okay. Well, yeah. Fair enough. Diva. That's definitely a conclusive. Yeah,
that is frowned upon.
So disappointing because you're such an incredible actress and an incredible singer. And I'm sure you're incredible on Broadway as well.
The show's had so much bad luck because wasn't she dating like the main guy in it as well? Corey Monty?
Yeah, so they were dating in real life as well, and he was struggling with drug and alcohol problems, which he made quite public, and he was seeking out help. And he unfortunately had an accidental drug overdose and a lethal amount of alcohol in his system. And so like they were in the middle of filming a season, and they had to sort of write into the season that the character had passed away, but they didn't say what the character had passed away from whatsoever. I think out of respect for the actor himself.
And isn't it crazy that Nye's body was found on the 7-year anniversary of him dying? That's spooky, and I guess that's why people keep talking about the Glee curse as well.
Well, because there was also Puck.
Was he the bully?
He was one of the football guys.
Yeah, because he also got into some trouble as well. It's awful to talk about, but he was convicted of possession of child pornography, I believe, and then found guilty, but then died from suicide.
Yeah, so he was told that he was going to have 3 to 7 years in prison, and then unfortunately took his own life before the sentence could take place.
But the show itself, it's interesting to talk about, and it really goes back to what we were talking about in the main episode about the perception of queer people in mainstream culture. This show, I think, was, because it was like the prime time show going into everyone's living rooms around the world, and it was portraying people, not just queer people, but also people with disabilities, lots of people of colour as main storylines and that sort of thing as well. And it was really responsible, I think, in the way that it did tell those stories. And I think a lot of that comes down to Ryan Murphy, the creator. And I don't know if you guys have seen his latest show, The Politician.
No, not yet, but I've...
No, I want to. I think my brother's saying...
It's a Netflix show. Highly, highly, highly recommended. Incredible cast, as an aside. But it's interesting to see the evolution of how he's now portraying queer people, people of colour, and people living with disabilities 10 years apart. Because at that time, it was a storyline. People had to come out like Kurt's character had to come out and that sort of thing. And that was very much a storyline. What I love about his new show, The Politician, we're now beyond that. So there are lots of queer people and their relationships are storylines, and there are people with disabilities and there are non-binary people and that sort of thing. But it's not actually a storyline. Like their non-binary-ness is not part of the story. You're just expected to be okay and to do your own research to work out what that means, because it's not going to be explained to you in the show. And I really love that.
Yeah. I feel like all the shows he does are like really good. Like I'm really into the American Horror Story
series. Oh my God, me too.
Even some of the series are trash, like some of the seasons, but like I still love all of it. I just want to be a cool witch. What do we think of Jane Lynch from Glee?
Jane Lynch, icon. Hello.
She's so cool. I love her so much. Like I would watch probably just for her. I was watching a movie the other day. What was she in? Oh my God. So I watched Julie and Julia for the first time the other day.
Oh yeah.
And it was so good with Meryl Streep, and she was her like sister in it. It was really unexpected and funny.
Do you know who I adore? And whenever he pops up on social media and stuff, I'm just like, Chris Colfer. who played Kurt.
Yes, Chris Colfer.
I don't know. I just loved watching him sing and his little storyline. Just, I think it reminded me a lot of myself doing all the music theater plays and stuff like that at school. And
I definitely had the biggest crush on his boyfriend in the show, Blaine.
Darren Criss.
Is he the one with the slicked back hair?
Yes, he's beautiful. Even now, he's so beautiful. He played he played the serial killer, in Assassination of Versace.
You need to get onto all these shows. Oh,
he's also on Broadway,
so good.
Is he?
He has also come forward and said that he's played a lot of queer characters and a lot of gay characters, but he's come forward and said he will no longer be playing any gay characters for the reason of giving the space for gay people to play.
Oh, so he's not gay.
Which I love. No, he's not at all. He's just a very queer, straight man who loves theatre. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And I also want to mention that at the time of Glee coming out, I think it is such an amazing thing that they did cast Chris Colfer in that role as Kurt, as an openly gay person in real life, because it was just
especially
not
that age
a common
as well.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, he cast a trans person in a trans role, Alex Newell, on the show as well, which was great. So it was good to see.
A lot of representation.
A lot of representation, especially like as teenagers as well.
Yeah.
And I absolutely commend Ryan Murphy for that. So good on you, sir. Thank you for the great content.
Is Jane Lynch's character in the show lesbian?
No.
Oh my God, because her character screamed lesbian.
It's a very queer character. She marries herself at one point.
What? oh God, yeah. The show sounds bonkers.
Really, really good. But no, in the show, she does play a straight person.
Just wears matching, like,
a very queer outfit.
Every day. And is a coach.
Yeah,
it'll be heartbreaking watching it now with Naya, I think.
Yeah, it's been interesting seeing like Twitter, like everybody just posting all their favorite moments of Naya, because like she was that one character that just read everyone to feel.
Oh, really?
Spitting truths at everyone. It was so good.
It's so funny. I remember like a while back, like maybe like 6 months ago, I saw a TikTok of this lesbian lady saying that she had a huge crush on Naya and she sent her all this fan mail. And Naya actually sent her a signed copy of herself in lingerie, like a picture of her, like a poster. Like a signed copy. And she said, thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. So she was like such a cool person like that. And it obviously made this like lady's like whole life. Like she was so happy with it.
So amazing.
Well, that's it for another week. Thank you so much for your support. As we said before, we do really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And as we said in the main show, hopefully Luke will be back with us next week. So until then, bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.